The Book Nook on WISO is made possible by five local library systems in Southwest Ohio: the Greene County Public Library, Washington Centerville Public Library, Clark County Public Library, the Dayton Metro Library, and the Wright Memorial Public Library.
Good morning. Welcome to the Best of the Book Nook on WYSO. 15 years ago, I interviewed Ray Manzarek. He was coming to Ohio to visit the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And on the day that I called him on the telephone, he wasn't aware when we started recording this interview that I was listening. And as you listen to the beginning of this interview, you'll hear him talking to someone, and then we begin the interview. We call it the Best of the Book Nook. Ray Manzarek died 3 years ago. And this novel he wrote is a thinly disguised account of what it might have been like if the lead singer of The Doors, Jim Morrison, hadn't died so young. Here it is, The Best of the Book Nook with Ray Manzarek.
Seeing him with his tail big and his whole bottom half full of dirt. It's disgusting.
Hello?
Yes?
Is this Ray Manzarek?
No kidding.
Ray Vic McCunis.
That's correct. How are you, Vic?
I'm good. Ray, I'd say 99% of our listeners remember you as a member of The Doors.
That's right.
You have just put out your first work of fiction. It's called Poet in Exile.
Yeah, The Poet in Exile, that's correct.
Why did you write it?
Well, it was one of those things that had to be told. It's a story of a rock star who stages his own death and is not actually dead. He's not buried in a quaint artists and poets cemetery in Paris. That coffin is actually filled with sand and bricks, and our hero, the poet, splits for the outer limits, man. He's out there. He goes off on a journey, and then he goes off on a journey into himself. That's what the story is basically about. It's like, what would have happened to Jim Morrison if he hadn't died? This is the story.
And in the background, we hear you're a classical music fan.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going there.
Some pretty music.
Yeah. Got a couple of good classical stations here in L.A., so they're on as background.
Ray, what have you been up to since The Doors?
A thousand things and probably nothing very important since it hasn't registered on the pop sales chart. So, you know, what difference does it make? You know, I just pursue artistic things. I produced X. You know, people say, who's X? You know, X is the punk rock band from Los Angeles. And, you know, I did Carmina Burana with Philip Glass. And people say, what's Carmina Burana and who's Philip Glass? And, you know, and I did an album called The Golden Scarab with the great jazz drummer Tony Williams and some jazz cats. And
I remember that album.
That was a lot of fun. And wrote my autobiography, Light My Fire, My Life with the Doors. That was my first book, and that tells all the stories, the Doors stories, according to me, not according to Oliver Stone, you know. And now I'm just, I play with Michael McClure, beatnik and buddy of Jim's, and we go out and do an evening of poetry and music. And we were up at the up in Cleveland at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And then we also did it in Columbus a couple of years ago. So that's what I do. And then I just wrote another novel or wrote another book, and this time fiction. So.
Are you saying Oliver Stone got it wrong?
Oh, of course. A little over the top. You know, it's a little over the top. He missed Morrison's decency and humanity and humor. You know, I mean, that movie is like, don't forget, this is about a bunch of potheads. You know, this is back in the 60s. These guys laughed, you know, laughed and giggled a lot. Not a single laugh in the entire movie. It's like, holy cow, God, is this a somber, dark film of madness and wildness? You know, like, where's the spirituality? You know, and of course, Oliver couldn't put that in. And that's another reason I wrote The Poet in Exile, because it concerns it's a journey to the East. It's a mystical journey, along with many other things.
So were you attempting to validate that subscription to the resurrection?
Oh, absolutely, man. absolutely, yeah. Well, it's a book of it's a fiction, you know, it's a fiction book.
But it rings so true. How much of this was? Were you really hanging out in El Segundo, for instance?
No, we were hanging out in Venice.
Okay.
Venice Beach. All the names have been changed.
Okay. Well, it's a fascinating book, and in the book we find a guy who really needed to hide out because life wasn't good.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that rings true.
Yeah. Yeah, he was burnt out, you know. He had burnt the candle at both ends, and it had come to the middle, and there was nothing there. But, you know, so it was time for him to split, you know, and to go into the outer limits, into some different place, a different space, different place in his head. And he does, and that's what's exciting about it.
My guest is Ray Manzarek. His new novel is The Poet in Exile, published by Thunder's Mouth Press, and it just came out today. And
yeah, today's the day of release, so you're ahead of the curve, man. Or bango on the money.
We're riding the wave.
There you go,
Ray. You guys were friends first, weren't you?
Oh, of course. Yeah. Well, we went to the UCLA Film School together.
Yeah.
So we were fellow filmmakers. We're going to be make movies.
In the book, you ask the question. You say people were always asking you, what was he like? And I'm sure you've heard that question 9 trillion times.
Uh-huh.
My question is, do you remember the first time you saw him?
Yeah, John DiBella introduced me to him, the late, great John DiBella, who, Jim was a college student. You know, he was no less than that. He wasn't the Lizard King. He wasn't a rock star. He wasn't any of that. You know, he was a college student.
Did you guys make any films
together? No, we didn't make movies.
Or separately when you were in film.
Oh, sure, yeah. I made two movies. As a matter of fact, you can see Jim Morrison in my student movie from UCLA, and you can see my wife Dorothy Manzarek. Dorothy Fujikawa is in it also. She's the star, and. They're available. Both of those student movies are available on the Doors DVD called The Doors Collection.
Ah.
It's out there right now. It's a Doors Collection. It's got 3 hours of Doors stuff and all kinds of supplemental material and live at the Hollywood Bowl and, you know, just all kinds of good stuff.
This guy in your book, Jordan, you call him the poet,
right.
and this is really an apt, I think, word to describe Jim as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This guy was so far ahead of his time, and he felt so much.
Yeah, absolutely.
When he talks about what have they done to the earth, and he goes into that rant about the destruction, he was so into the world. You know, when he says the scream of the butterfly, these are really strong images. What was he like to talk to? Did he talk that way?
No, he talked like a normal human being. That's poetry. That's your art. When you're performing your art, you go into another place in your head, and you become the artist. As a human being, he was very funny and very literate, and one of the best read guys I'd ever met. You know, and probably ever did meet. I mean, he was very high IQ, great guy to hang out with and have a drink with, because he was funny, man. He would make all kinds of literary allusions and puns and wordplay, and very bright and very intelligent, and a good human being. Except when he got drunk. Then when he got drunk, he was a jerk.
Uh-huh.
You know, as most drunks are. You know,
kind of like Jordan in the book.
Yeah. Unfortunately, he had a penchant for alcohol, and so does our hero in the book, The Poet in Exile.
Well, listening to you guys play together, even 30 years after the fact, just hearing the music, you guys are really on to something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, if there was a combination of jazz and blues, classical music, Robbie's flamenco guitar, jug band guitar, his bottleneck, that slide stuff, John's powerful drumming from being in a marching band, so he had to have a real good sense of time and power, and he was a jazz drummer too, and then you take all those musical elements and add to that a beatnik French symbolist poet, and there's the Doors, man, doing rock and roll.
You're listening to the Best of the Book Nook on WYSO with Ray Manzarek, and we can't do an interview with a guy who was in The Doors without playing some of their music. Let's listen.
The Book Nook on WYSO is made possible by five local library systems, including the Clark County Public Library, the Wright Memorial Public Library, and the Dayton Metro Library. Together, these libraries support a culture of literacy and learning.
The Best of the Book Nook continues on WYSO. My 2002 interview with Ray Manzarek. He played keyboards for The Doors.
My guest is Ray Manzarek. His book is The Poet in Exile. Have you ever been to these islands out in the Indian Ocean?
No, the Seychelles. No, I haven't been to the Seychelles. But I came close. We were in Paris for Jim's 30th birthday, disappearance birthday party on July 3rd, just last year. And Dorothy and I get to the airport, and it's our flight to New York. And as we're walking by to our gate, there's the gate with a flight to the Seychelles.
Oh.
I thought, oh, God, it's going nonstop, Paris to the Seychelles, maybe a stop in Nairobi. Holy cow. Should we change our ticket? And I was like, oh, God, we can't. And the book was already finished. So, it was too late to do research. It was already done with the book. But, everything is from heavily researched, and all the places there are the places there. And that's the way the island is. And
That's kind of eerie. That you saw that flight.
Yeah, really, man. I should have taken it, but, we had too many things to do back home, and we had been away for about a week and a half, and it was time to get back to L.A. and take care of business.
How did you mark the 30th anniversary?
Well, we were at the grave in Paris. There was a big party at Jim's grave.
Uh-huh.
And then Danny was there, and Dorothy was there, and lots of fans came, and we toasted Jim with some drinks and some wine and signed autographs, and people were playing music. And then in the evening, we had a big, big poetry question and answer. I played the piano and played some Doors songs for a whole bunch of people in a big in an auditorium. And I had a great time.
My guest is Ray Manzarek. The book is The Poet in Exile. In the book, Roy, the keyboardist,
mm-hmm.
describes a gig where I think you were in Europe or something in the book, and Jim was incapable of performing, and you actually played a gig without him. Did something like that ever happen?
Exactly, man. Absolutely, yeah. That's that sure did happen. Happened in Amsterdam. We played at the Concert Gebo Orchestra Hall, and we had to do two sets that night. I tell the whole story in my first book, Light My Fire, my life with the Doors. So it's all in there. But yeah, that's exactly what happened. Jim passed out, and 10 minutes before we're to go on stage, And they came with the emergency squad, and the paramedics came, and they wrapped him in a rubber sheet. And I watched my lead singer being carried out on a stretcher, wrapped in a rubber sheet with a oxygen mask on his face. And at that point, our roadie comes in and says, 5 minutes, we're on in 5 minutes. And there goes Jim out the door. And I looked at Robbie and I thought, oh, God, what are we going to do, man? There he goes, you know. And nobody was worried. It wasn't like he was, you know, he had a heart attack or anything. He had just had too much to drink and, you know, too many Amsterdam, you know, all that hash in Amsterdam. Mm-hmm. People were just giving it to him, and he was just swallowing this, that, and the other thing. And eventually it all added up, and he just passed out 10 minutes before showtime.
But the gig went off pretty well.
And again, we played, yeah. So, you know, it was like we told Vince, our roadie, to go out there and tell him that, you know, our lead singer, you know, Jim Morrison, won't be able to perform tonight due to the fact that he's under a rubber sheet. And the audience didn't care. All they knew was light my fire. It was like they hadn't, you know, Jim hadn't become Jim Morrison yet. And they just wanted music. They went, play Doors, play Doors, play Doors, Doors. So we said, well, what the hell, man? Let's go and do it, you know? All right, fine. You know, set up a mic for Robbie. Vince, I've got my mic already. Move John up to where Jim would be. And it was just the three of us all lined up. And we just tore into the songs, and Robbie sang, and I sang, and we got through two sets, man. And it worked. The audience never knew the difference. They heard Light My Fire, dun, 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 and they heard somebody singing in English, you know, that it would be untrue. So they were perfectly happy.
Did you all sing together?
No. I sang, and then Robbie sang, and sometimes Robbie sang with me, but John didn't sing. So it was just the keyboard player and the guitar player.
My guest is Ray Manzarek. His book is The Poet in Exile. He joins us by telephone from Los Angeles. Ray, we live in a society where we have these cultural icons that seem to be people that are really magnetic, and they seem to be people that were creative, who died young. We think of Elvis. We think of Marilyn, James Dean, John F. Kennedy, Jim Morrison.
Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, Kurt Cobain, all of them, man. They were all, yeah, way too young.
You just named three that went in about a two-year period there.
Yeah, well, you know, 1 year, Jim Morrison, Janis went first, and then Jimmy, and then Jim Morrison, all within 1 year. Janis died in September. I don't know when Jimmy died, and Morrison died on July 3rd. And within a year, all three of them were gone. See, drugs. Watch out for those drugs and alcohol.
Yeah.
That'll kill you. That stuff will kill you, man. You know, I mean, it's there for your amusement, and you know, it's there to be used judiciously. Don't do too much. You know, mm-hmm. If you're going to do that stuff, watch out. It'll kill you, you know?
Yeah.
Especially those white powders. Holy cow. God, first it addicts you, you know. And poor Kurt Cobain had to blow his brains out. He couldn't handle it. Couldn't handle all the pressure that was put on him to stop with his drug use.
These are people, some of them seem like they were really in a lot of pain.
It seems that way, doesn't it? Except I can't think of Morrison being in pain. He was a creative artist, and everything was going great. You know, he was because of the indulgence of fame, he was unable to say no to alcohol.
Yeah.
He just had that something running in the genetic line that when he had a drink, it was like, boy, I love this, and I love getting drunk.
Yeah.
I myself, you know, I drank with him. It's fun, but, God, the next day you wake up with a deadly hangover, you're dying. You go, God, I'm never going to do this again. This is insane. If I keep drinking like this, I'm going to kill myself. And I don't think Jim ever got to that stage of, God, if I keep doing this, I'm going to kill myself. And kaboom, he died. And, you know, Janis OD'd on heroin, and Jimi Hendrix evidently, you know, pills and alcohol, and he wasn't even able, as he was throwing up, he had passed out on the floor, he was throwing up, he wasn't even able to roll over and vomit on the floor, and the vomit stayed in his, you know, stayed in his esophagus, his windpipe, into his lungs, and he died drowning mm-hmm. in his own vomit.
My guest is Ray Manzarek. His new book is The Poet in Exile. as I look back to those days, being a little kid and looking at you guys, I had no clue what you're into. I didn't understand. But as I look back, I think, well, Jim may have drank a lot, but I figure Ray was probably a pothead.
Yeah. Well, so was Jim. We were all into consciousness expansion.
Uh-huh.
We were acid heads, potheads, potheads and LSD. You know, we opened the doors. I mean, it's where the name The Doors comes from, The Doors of Perception.
From Huxley?
Yeah, from Huxley. Aldous Huxley book, The Doors of Perception. And we opened the doors of perception and broke on through to the other side, stepped outside of ourselves right there on the end of the Western continent. We stood on the beach in Venice, California, and watched the sunset into the Pacific Ocean. It was the end of manifest destiny, the end of the West. We stood at the end of the West and watched the sunset over Asia. Jim would say, see that sun setting, man? You know where it's setting? Know where it's going next? It's going to Asia. I was like, whoa, Japan, India, China. So we were all into the East, into Orientalism and expansion of consciousness, breaking on through to the other side, finding the God within you. That's what it was all about.
How'd you get hooked up with Electra? What was your break there?
Jack Holtzman actually came down. Well, it's a funny story. We didn't. We couldn't sell. We couldn't sell the band to anybody in Los Angeles. No, we went to Capitol Records. They wouldn't even let us in the big round tower. One guy threw us out of the office. You know, he hated the music. Another guy said, nothing here I can use. And mm-hmm. said, well, that's good, man, because we don't want to be used anyway. And we walked out of the office. And nobody wanted the Doors in Los Angeles. And only the guy from New York who had come down to see Love. We were playing with Love. Electra had Love, and they were doing real well for them. And he'd heard about this other group called The Doors, and he came down to see us. And that was it, you know. He took an East Coast intellectual to understand what we were doing, you know. And he signed us, you know. He said, okay. You know, he came back a couple of times, and, boys, I want to sign you. Three records guaranteed. So we were guaranteed three records. I mean, the front money was ridiculous, and the percentage was ridiculous. I think we got $5,000, and that was it. That's all the money we sent. Gee, is this all we get? Don't we get 50? And, hey, we're a small company. You know, sell some records, and you'll do well. All right, we'll try to sell some records for you.
You really made the label, didn't you?
Yeah, I sure did. You know, and then became world famous Elektra Records, part of WEA, Warner's, Elektra, and Atlantic,
and a delightful conglomerate it is.
Oh yeah, well, Elektra was great. You know,
yeah,
it was folk and jazz and classical and some cool rock, and we loved them because they had Paul Butterfield Blues Band, uh-huh. They had Love, and you know all of that.
Judy Collins.
Yeah, Judy Collins, all the great folkers were there, you know, great stuff. Kerner, Ray, and Glover, that kind of rock, love those guys.
They even had the Incredible String Band.
The Incredible String Band was there, and then they got Harry Chapin and Carly Simon, and it just kept signing all kinds of good things.
Yeah, it was a very hip label.
Yeah, and a good place to be.
They're still kind of hip. They put out the new Bjork album.
Yeah, they got Bjork, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good thing she sold some records and was famous.
Yeah. Yeah, she's cool.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. My God, what an artist.
What kind of stuff? You're listening to classical. What kind of stuff are you into?
No, I'm listening to, well, I mean, yeah, I listen to classical, but I'm listening to electronica, contemporary music, all electronica. Tricky all of that. Trance and acid jazz and trip hop and dance music
like Portishead.
Portishead, exactly. Yeah. Future Sounds of London, Moby, and uh-huh. like that.
You know. Have you heard this Up Bustlin' Out?
No, I haven't heard that.
Richard Egues.
No,
it's out of Cuba.
Oh yeah,
very cool.
Oh. Richard what?
Egues.
Okay.
Now Tricky, have you ever seen him?
No. No.
This is a man who's into his marijuana.
Be careful.
Big time. My guest is Ray Manzarek, and his new book is The Poet in Exile. He joins us by telephone from Los Angeles, where it all started for The Doors. Now, when you saw the Oliver Stone film, were you apoplectic?
Yeah. There was nothing I could do about it. I'd read the script, and the script stunk, and I told him. I said, this is no good. You know, I talked to Oliver Stone for two solid days. I gave him the gospel according to The Doors, but... you know, I mean, it says in the Bible, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Well, unfortunately, Stone did not hear. He heareth not. And went ahead and made this kind of bizarro hell-bent for leather sort of, you know, it was like a coked-out kind of movie. It was like a movie about a psychedelic band made by a cokehead, you know. It's got a whole cocaine feeling to it. Like, this is not the Doors. This is like a 70s, late 70s coke band or something with everybody just wired out of their gills in some mad kind of mad movie, you know. Uh-huh. I mean, it's a great movie. The name of the band is great. He got that right. And the music is great, and the rock scenes are great. But, you know, it's just what he did to Jim. He turned Jim into this kind of this clown and this fool, you know. I didn't like the way he portrayed Jim Morrison.
My guest is Ray Manzarek. In the book, The Poet in Exile, you have the poet telling Roy, the keyboardist, that he really dug what you guys had done with his poetry after his death.
Mm-hmm. That's in relationship to, that's a tip of the hat to An American Prayer,
uh-huh.
Jim's poetry album, An American Prayer. That's a terrific album that very few people have heard, but it's great. It's Morrison reading his poetry, and the Doors making music, and it's like a radio show. You know, you mm-hmm. just close your mind and close your eyes and open your mind, and it takes you on a journey. We kind of modeled it. We tried to model it after Orson Welles' War of the Worlds that got him in trouble back in 37, something like that.
Everyone thought it was real.
Yeah, exactly. So what we've done with this is try to make it a radio show. It's like, listen, you're going to be sitting down listening to a guy reading poetry. What could be more boring? Well, not the way we're going to approach this one, because Jim was never a boring individual. His poetry was terrific, so we tried to make a very unboring story of birth and growth and the public life and the private life. We've got all of that stuff. We've got it all kind of sketched out in there, and it's called An American Prayer. It's one of my favorite Doors albums.
I love that album.
Cool, man. Good. I'm glad you do.
And you guys picked a great photo for the cover.
Yeah, that's the poet, man. That guy on the cover is the guy in the Seychelles.
You're listening to the Best of the Book Nook on WYSO, my 2002 interview with Ray Manzarek. You just heard him talking about the song Light My Fire. I'll never forget the first time I heard this song.
Untrue, you know that I would be a liar if I was to say to you, girl, we couldn't get much higher. Come on, baby, light my fire. Come on, baby, light my fire. Try to set the night on fire. The time you hesitate is through. No time to wallow in the mire. Try now, we can only lose. And our love become a funeral pyre. Come on, baby, light my fire. Come on, baby, light my fire. Try to set the night on fire. Thank you. The time to hesitate is through. No time to wallow in the mire. Try now, we can only lose. And our love become a funeral pyre. Come on, baby, light my fire. Come on, baby, light my fire. Try to set the night on fire.
Best of the Book Nook continues on WYSO, revisiting an interview I did with Ray Manzarek, the keyboard player from The Doors. We recorded this back in 2002, and he died in 2013. Here's Ray Manzarek.
What are the other guys up to?
John is working with a lot of charitable organizations and playing drums with a half and half an ethnic jazz band. They have, you know, world. It's sort of a world beat jazz band, so they combine the two, and his chops are in great shape. And Robbie's playing the guitar with the Robbie Krieger Band, touring around the country. He just got back from playing the South, and they're well and good. And then you know, you can see the Doors played on that VH1 special about a year ago, so with a bunch of different lead singers, so you can actually see the Doors today. And I think it's out on DVD. It's called, it's a VH1 Storyteller series. It's The Doors on the Storyteller. So you can see The Doors today playing with Scott Stapp and Scott Weiland and Ian Astbury and a couple of other guys.
My guest is Ray Manzarek. His book, The Poet in Exile, just came out today, published by Thunder's Mouth Press, available in your better bookstores worldwide. Did I hear you mention that you just finished another book?
No. Okay. I wrote my autobiography called Light My Fire, My Life with the Doors, but that's been out for like 2 years now.
And are they turning that into something else? Light My Fire?
No, not that I know of.
Okay.
If they are, God bless them, you know. But no, yeah. No.
Okay.
But that would make a very interesting film, in that it would the early part of the Doors, I think, would be. You know, I cover it all there. Where do the Doors come from? You know, who are these guys? How did this happen? So it's all in there. And Light My Fire tells the whole story of, Jim and I first meeting at the UCLA Film School and all of that, and getting together on the beach and, Jim singing songs to me. And I say, that's great. Let's get a rock and roll band together. He moves in with me and Dorothy. The three of us live together working on the song. Then I meet John and Robbie and the Maharishi's Meditation, the thing the Beatles were into. We were doing that here in L.A. And, rehearsal with the guys and a magical moment. The first time the Doors even played together, I knew it was magic. It was just amazing. We played Moonlight Drive, and it was like, wow, this is incredible. And then the gigs, and then the rejections, and then walking the streets and being rejected, but then playing at the Whiskey. So I cover all of that. It's all in there. I thought it would make a great movie from the beginning all the way up to the Doors getting fired at the Whiskey a Go-Go, but Jack Holtzman hiring the Doors or signing the Doors to Elektra Records like a day before the Doors get fired from the Whiskey a Go-Go.
So that was a regular gig?
Yeah. That was our gig. That was the summer of 1966.
Is that the one you allude to in the book?
Yeah.
Okay. There were some substance abuse things.
No. That was before it.
Okay.
Before the whiskey. That was at a place called the London Fog. The actual place was called the London Fog. fog. And that was like five, six sets a night with nobody in the place, you know, just empty, dead. No, the Whiskey A Go-Go was like Mecca. It was like jumping, man. We were the house band, and we'd open for Van Morrison and Them. You could go and see for, I don't know, like $3. It was the Doors and Them, the Doors and Captain Beefheart, the Doors and Love, the Doors and Frank Zappa and the Mothers of Invention, the Doors and the Buffalo Springfield. I mean, we played with everybody there.
You guys were so tight.
Well, it's a lot of rehearsal, a lot of practice, and a lot of gigs.
Did you ever do a bill with the Turtles?
Oh, yeah, I played with the Turtles, sure. Mark Volman and Howard Kalin, yeah.
Those guys were wild men.
They were great. They were funny and an excellent band, too. Happy Together, you know. What a great song.
Then they hooked up with Zappa for a while.
Yeah, they were with Zappa. That's when they became Flo and Eddie.
Well, I always pictured you as the intellectual of the group, you and Jim.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it's true.
Well, I don't know, you know. And I read books, you know.
What are you reading right now?
Well, now I got to read, because I'm just going out on a book tour, so I've got to figure out what I'm going to say and which passage I'm going to read. So I'm going to read, that's kind of funny, I'm going to read my own book. But in the next couple of hours, I'm going up to San Francisco. But right now, let's see, I just finished a great John Steinbeck book called East of Eden.
Hmm.
What a book that is, holy cow. Phew, what a huge, wonderful novel. So I'm a big John Steinbeck fan here in California.
Which is Steinbeck country.
Yeah, exactly, man.
Mm-hmm. My guest is Ray Manzarek. His book is The Poet in Exile. And you going up there to do
what? Yeah, signings and readings. And I'm going to play up at the Great American Music Hall and tell some stories and play some piano and Doors songs. And then Michael McClure is going to come up and join me for a couple of poems. And then I'm going to... Chicago, let's see, I'm 6, 7, 8 in Chicago, and 9 at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland.
Oh, so people can see you on...
I'll be doing exactly what, I'll be doing a book signing, and I'll be performing, and I think it starts about 5 o'clock, and there's signings and a gig and the whole thing.
That's next week?
Yeah.
So that's Wednesday the 9th.
That's Wednesday.
You
that's
can
right.
see Ray in
that's
Cleveland.
Cleveland at the Rock and at the R&R H of F, as I like to call it.
That's only a few hours from where we are.
Yeah.
We're on the campus of Antioch College.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember Antioch?
Yeah, of course. Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did you end up in L.A.?
Well, I graduated from DePaul University, and it was time to continue on. I got a bachelor's degree, and I was going to go to law school. And, a bunch of the guys that I went to school with were going to, some guys were going to stay there and go to law school. Everyone was going to go to law school. I'm going to stay there. Another guy went to Virginia. Somebody went to New York. And I said, man, I'm going to California. I got to get out of this Chicago cold. Well, you know, that Midwestern cold. It's so cold. Mm-hmm. I got to go where it's warm. I can't take it. And they got palm trees. And they got girls in bikinis.
Mm-hmm. You know?
And then I was watching a football game, and there was UCLA in powder blue, powder blue and gold. Like, what? Midwestern schools don't have colors like powder blue. You know, it's like, God, I'm going out there to the ocean, man. I want the Pacific Ocean. And so I went to UCLA, applied to UCLA, and got accepted. And then I went into the film school. I did about 2 weeks in law school and said, forget this. You know, I can't do this. And I went to the film school. And that's where I met Jim Morrison. Then in the art school, taking a couple of art classes, I met my wife, Dorothy Fujikawa, and we're still together.
Another Catholic boy gone bad. Huh?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And opened the doors of perception. You know.
Were you a Southsider?
Yeah, Southsider, Chicago, uh-huh. 35th and Western. Uh-huh. Went to St. Rita High School. I'm a St. Rita boy.
Yeah, my daddy went to Lindblom.
Oh, yeah. Lindblom had great girls, public school. That had gorgeous chicks. Wow.
Yeah.
Man,
well,
Lindblom was cool, man.
Well, Ray, we wish you all luck with your endeavors.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
And the book is The Poet in Exile. It just came out, published by Thunder's Mouth Press. And Ray Manzarek wrote it. It's his first novel. Tell us about this publisher. I'm not familiar with them.
They're part of a division of Avalon. Avalon's
okay.
Got about three or four divisions, and this is sort of their pop, rock and roll, poetry. They do a lot of poetry, and it's they're one of the divisions of a smaller of Avalon Books, and Avalon's like a second tier publisher. And they were very hip. They've got all kinds of great stuff. You know, they do rock and roll, and they've got lots of poetry too. So I thought, hey, these guys sound perfect, man.
Well, I really enjoyed the book.
Good. Thank you, Vic.
And
listen, man, if you can come up to Cleveland on Wednesday. You know, I'd love to meet you in person.
Wow, you might talk me into that, Ray.
Come on, we're gonna have a good time. You know.
Hey, hold the phone, Ray.
Yeah, I will.
My guest has been Ray Manzarek. The book is The Poet in Exile. You've been listening to The Book Nook on WYSO. I'm Vic McCunis. This is The Doors.
Riders on the Storm, The Doors, the late Ray Manzarek playing the keyboards, the late Jim Morrison on the vocals. My only interview on the Best of the Book Nook, going back to 2002 with Ray Manzarek, who died 3 years ago. He was coming to Cleveland for an event at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and I'm grateful to the music publicists who think that Ohio is such a small state that Cleveland is about 3 miles away from Yellow Springs, so they contact me and ask me if I want to interview people who are coming to Cleveland, and I'm very appreciative of them. Thank you very much, publicists. Please keep doing that. Ray Manzarek, some people consider him to be a music legend. I'm certainly glad I was able to interview him. For the Best of the Book Nook, I'm Vic McCunis, and thanks, as always, for tuning in. Thank you.